John, and we need to lift up our nation, that we would definitely have the will to stand up to this evil that's in the world today. And as Pastor John said, to the love of Christ. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, as we commemorate this day. We understand that there is a spiritual battle going on. Lord, I pray that you would burn it within our hearts and deep within our minds, that we would understand what this battle entails is really for the souls of men and women and for eternity. Father, we pray right now that you would encourage and you would strengthen our leaders to make the right decision. And Lord, that we as your people, we would be able to speak the truth in love, to act in love, but Lord, not to back down from this encroaching darkness. Now, Father, we pray for Pastor John as he brings forth the word today. May we take this word, may we sink it deep in our heart, and may we say, Lord, take that, bring forth fruit, bring forth courage, bring forth strength. Father, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name, and everyone said,
Amen. Hallelujah. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a life of godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And the very next verse tells us what He has given us, or what He wants to give us. It says, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Now, the greatest of these precious promises is, at least for us as Christians, it's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Because what we're going to see here in a second, it says, Acts 2:39, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. It is the Holy Spirit who is going to help us participate in that very divine nature that we just talked about. That promised Holy Spirit will help us to live the way God wants us to live, to be involved in that divine nature, to be transformed, literally transformed into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what the Word teaches us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So how can we tell if we're being transformed into the image of Jesus and participating in this divine nature? What roadmap, or how can we see where we're at and if it's really happening and if we're really changing? Well, the way we can recognize if we are, in fact, changing is by seeing the fruit of the Holy Spirit developing and operating in our life. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, we've already explored love, joy, peace, and patience. Last week we started on kindness, and so today I want to just return and sort of wrap up kindness. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 tells us that love is kind. It explains love. It gives some different examples of what love entails. And love, it says, is kind. Now, kindness, and you remember, love is the most excellent way. Love is the overall greatest, because God is love. It's through love that we observe all the commandments. It's love that we overtake the world. I mean, it's love is the answer, as far as what Jesus is the answer, we know. But love is the answer that He wants us to live and to share and love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the commandments hangs on that. If we learn how to love. And one of the top things of love is to be kind. Kindness is the conduct or the action of love towards people, towards other people. Kindness is actually love in action. It's the outgrowth of love. As we do things, In love, we do things that are kind. Even though somebody might say, well, that wasn't very nice, but we're doing it for their best interest, it's still a kindness. Godly kindness has a passion for doing good for others, for showing them love and being, you know, maybe friendly or generous or gentle or in some way helping others to become better, to look good, to feel good, to think better about themselves, to, you know, to help them in their growth, to help them be who they're supposed to be, to help them feel accepted. That's kindness. It's an important thing. There's no doubt that in the world that we live in, there is a desperate need for kindness, for love in action. And that's where our job comes in. As Christians, we are God's ambassadors. We should know that. The Word tells us that we are His ambassadors, and our job is to spread His love, His loving kindness throughout this world. Not because we are so wonderful, because kindness, you know, there is a kindness in people. There's a natural kind of kindness. Some people are just naturally kind. But I'm not talking about human, just natural being nice to people. I'm going beyond that. And we looked at that last week. This is just a little quick review here. So you can check last week's message. We talked all about that. And what we're talking about is a kindness that is brought about by the Holy Spirit within us, that God's Holy Spirit is causing to come out of us, that so much that His kindness is operating in us, going out to others, even times when we don't want to, even to our enemies. It doesn't matter to who it is, when the love of God, the kindness of God begins to come out. Luke 6:27-28, Jesus says, "To you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you." See, we don't want to do that. Of course we don't. That's where God's kindness comes into play. "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. But love your enemies." This is God's word. This isn't my word. "Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High because," and here it is, "He is kind. He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. That's 6:35, Luke 6:35. Remember, one time we too were at war with God. We were enemies of God. Everything He gave us, everything He, in so many ways He blessed us, in the natural and sometimes even in the spiritual, and yet we were still ungrateful ourselves, and oftentimes wicked. And yet, He was still kind to us. Now He's calling us to be like Him, to be those ambassadors and to show that kindness, His kindness, to other people. It's not always easy, but that's what He's calling us to do. This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is love in action. This is God's love working through us in action. The kindness of God is one of the greatest evangelistic tools of all times. It opens more doors than speaking the message. It opens more doors than tracts or, you know, knocking on doors. Or, you know, it's just simple kindness, meeting somebody at their need. Showing them God's love. Showing them His kindness. It opens a door. It opens their heart, their mind, their emotions to being able to then receive God's word, His truth. We looked last week at a bunch of things that can sometimes stop us from being kind. I'm not going to look at all of them again. And we saw that they all boil down to basically to the same thing. And that was that we were not walking in the Spirit, but that we were walking in the flesh. And finally, we saw that there are real consequences to kindness. There are. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Whenever we are kind to someone, God's law, His law, His consequence of sowing and reaping comes into play. No matter how kind we are, no matter how much we give, somehow, some way, somewhere, sometime, God is going to give us back even more. Pressed down and running over, overflowing. Our cup will overflow. My cup runneth over with God's love, God's kindness towards me. Galatians 6:7-10 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh," that's what we talked about last, this is not now, but I mean, we talked about pleasing the flesh. "And from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore," now, and you may have heard this spoken of before, whenever you hear that word "therefore," we need to stop and think, what is it there for? There's a reason it's there. It's now going to explain everything that we just read. Sowing, you know, if we sow to please the Spirit, we're going to, you know, reap from the Spirit. If we sow to please the flesh, we reap destruction. So now let's not become weary in doing good. So therefore, the reason what that is there for is so that, therefore, as we have opportunity, now this is starting today's message, let us do good or be kind to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, I want to take a moment and take a deeper look at what God is telling us here about this idea of looking for opportunity. Therefore, as we have opportunity, and He wants us to make the most of every opportunity that we can find to be kind. Colossians 4:5, "Be wise. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity." Why? Why would He say that? Because God knows that there's an opportunity. There's a chance there to get something into them, the truth, to rescue them from the trap of the devil. In God's eyes, we are wise when we take that opportunity to act kindly towards other people. Think about that. When you do something kind because of the love of God in you, as you are led by the Spirit, God says, "Now there's a wise young man or woman. They're acting, they chose wisely." And He also says, though, that we're foolish. They're foolish, or we are foolish, when we pass up an opportunity to be kind. We got to get this. Is He really that serious about that? Ephesians 5:15-17 says this, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." Here He is again, talking about this wisdom, making the most of every opportunity. Listen to that again. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore," there it is again. Now He's telling us, He explained what's going on. Now He says, "This that was there to tell you to do this. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is, making the most of every opportunity and being kind, showing His love to other people." That's what He wants us to do. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds. Deeds, acts of kindness, done in the humility that comes from wisdom. See, in humility, if we don't have humility, we won't do for other people because we're more important. But if we walk in humility and we allow God, we'll be able to allow God's kindness to come through us. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So a wisdom that rejects kindness, kind deeds, because of bitterness, because of envy, because of selfish ambition, is, guess what? It's demonic. It's the devil's, it's worldly, devilish wisdom, not godly wisdom. So much God looks at this stuff. So, I mean, whoa. I guess God really is serious about us being kind to other people. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy. Mercy and kindness are very similar. And good fruit, in other words, coming out, doing those nice things, impartial and sincere, peacemakers, who sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. So every one of these things is definitely related to kindness in some way, related to God's love in action. When you hear the word kindness, kindness that is led by the Spirit of God, kindness that is the fruit of the Spirit, it's the same as saying God's love in action coming through us. And if we are wise enough to walk in this way, it says that we will reap a harvest of righteousness. Ephesians 5:17 told us to make the most of these opportunities. Why? Because it says the days are evil. Now, I find that sort of funny in a way, because here we are almost 2,000 years ago, and it's written in the Bible, so we know it's true, where it says the days are evil. How many times have we read, boy, it's just an evil world, man. It's worse than it ever was. It's really getting bad, man. It's so bad now. It was so much better when I was younger. The world is filled with evil. The world has a lot of good in it. But there is evil in this world. It's always been here and it always will be. We got to deal with it. So even though there's a lot of evil in the world, there's also, and a lot of evil people, or a lot of people, I should say, who do evil things, there are also a whole lot of God's people who live in this world and have the power to overcome that evil with good. We hear about Islam. Christianity is stronger than Islam. I don't care what you hear out there. It doesn't matter what the newspapers say. It doesn't matter what you read or what you see. It doesn't matter what they do. God is stronger than any false religion. Every time we do a Holy Spirit-inspired act of kindness, we are planting seeds of good, of goodness in this evil world. Kindness is sort of like an antidote for evil. It really is. Just like light destroys the darkness, which we know it does, kindness can also overcome many of the evils of this world. What I'm basically saying is that love, this love in action, love can overcome sin. Love can overcome evil. And if you want to see the greatest example, you can't see it, but right behind there is a cross. I think you could say that love overcame evil. If you want to be powerful and influential, of course, not too many people say, oh, I want to be powerful and influential. That's my plan for this week. What are you up to? Oh, just being powerful and influential. But, you know, most people will sort of like that idea. I want to have influence. I want to have, you know, some authority or some power. Well, you know what? God wants us to be powerful and influential in this world for good. For good. And the more acts of kindness you do, the more you act out God's love, the more you spread His love, the more influence you're going to have all around you. You'll be amazed at what happens. Remember this act, or these acts of kindness, they're acts of God's love. And God's love is powerful. God's love is so powerful that it can touch any person or any situation in the world and change it for the good. God's love is powerful. He who is strong, he who is in me is stronger than he who is in the world. Isn't that right? Remember, we're told in 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25 that the Lord's servant must be kind to everyone. The Lord's servant, it says, must be kind to everyone. Why? Why are we supposed to be kind to everyone? So that we can help people. Help them do what? We talked about this last week a little bit. Help them come to their senses, it says right here in verse 25, and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. So see, that love is so powerful that we can rescue people. We can steal people from the clutches of the devil. We can steal people from Islam. It happens all the time. Muslims are constantly being converted to Christianity. Some die because of their faith. Some others come and speak out then about it. One of the things that can help us grow and walk in kindness is to get a deeper revelation of our Father's love towards us. Think about this. What if God withdrew His kindness towards us? What if He took the Son away from us? What if He stopped the rain, stopped the growing of crops? What if He took away our oxygen? Or gravity, or our food, any one of those things, and we'd be dead. But if He took away our ability to breathe, or for our heart to beat, just like that, we'd be dead. But God's not like that. God is not a mean God. He's not looking to get us, like people who don't know God think. In fact, here's what God's Word says. Jeremiah 9:24. Let the one who boasts, boast about this. That they have the understanding to know Me. That I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. God delights in showing His people kindness. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. This is the God that we serve. God is calling out to us. He's trying to woo us. He's trying to draw us in, to attract us with His kindness. He reveals Himself through His love. Imagine God seated on His throne, and if you remember the story of Esther, extending His scepter to us, welcoming us into His presence. Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy which is a form of kindness, and find grace to help us in our time of need. The throne of grace and mercy. The place where God has made it known that His children are welcome to come at any time. Anytime we want, we can come boldly before the throne of God, it says in the Scripture. Anytime we want, to meet our Father, the King, and to receive His kindness. He showed this kindness when He sent His Son Jesus to die for us, so that we could live for eternity with Him in heaven. John 3:16, you may have heard it, says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." For God so loved the world because of His love. It was an act of love. It was love in action. It was God's kindness that sent Jesus into the world. Jesus came into the world. Certainly that was an act of kindness. And He continually, He repeatedly, over and over and over again, demonstrated kindness. The kindness that was in Him, that came from His Father, that was being used through the Holy Spirit. The same way it would for us. Luke 7:11 says, "Jesus went to a town called Nain, and His disciples and a large crowd went along with Him. As He approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, His heart," and this is God, "His heart went out to her." And here's Jesus, out here to save the world, out here to proclaim the glory of God, and He sees somebody coming by, and He can't help feeling for this woman. His heart went out to her, and He tells her, "Don't cry. Don't cry. I'll help you. I will be kind to you." Then He went up and He touched the coffin, and those who were carrying it stood still. And He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. An act of kindness. Jesus was kind, and He had compassion on the crowds, it said, and He began to teach them. And when they sat there for days, He felt bad for them again, so then He fed them. He was kind to the woman who was caught in adultery. He rescued her. He was kind to the lepers when He healed them. He was kind to the centurion whose servant was sick. He was kind to the woman who anointed His feet with oil. He was kind to all those that He healed, to the deaf, to the blind, to the sick, to the lame. He just never stopped. Because the very nature of Jesus, being one with God, filled without limit with the Holy Spirit, He was full of kindness. The same fruit of the Spirit that God wants in us. "Greater things than even these you will do," He said. Greater kindnesses you can do. Even letting the Roman soldiers press that crown of thorn on His heads. Letting them beat Him. Letting them drive nails through His hands and His feet and hang Him on a cross to die. That was an act of kindness. That was love in action towards us. For the joy that was set before Him. And it was an act of kindness that would tear at the very fabric of evil. It was kindness that overwhelmed with power death, sin, and evil. It doesn't matter if people see it or not. That was the reality. His kindness destroyed the power of evil to own us. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The loving kindness that was shown on the cross was something very special. It was so powerful, it broke that grip of evil on us. Because of what he did on that cross, we have been set free from being controlled, commanded by evil, and set free now to instead be led by the Spirit of God, showing forth the love of God through acts of kindness all over the place. That sacrifice that Jesus made, it brought hope to a people in despair, to us. It brought light into the darkness. It brought salvation. It brought forgiveness of sin. All kind acts. And what Jesus had to go through to do it. It was a lot worse than maybe just stopping by the side of the road and helping somebody, like the Good Samaritan that was commended for his act of kindness. Now it's our job. Now it's our job to spread that same message of hope, of life, of salvation. And one of the most powerful ways that we can spread that message everywhere we go is by listening to the Spirit of God, maybe praying, maybe asking, maybe we'll just be just led automatically to be kind to that person that God points out to us. And the more we open our spiritual heart and eyes and mind and thoughts to God, the more opportunities we're going to see, and then He wants us to make the most of those opportunities, being wise, as we talked about earlier, planting seeds of kindness wherever we go by the Spirit of God. I'll read one last scripture here, and the prayer team can come on up. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat.'" You see where I'm going with this? "I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. You were kind to me. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him and say, "Lord, when did we do this? When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go in to see you?" They didn't even get it. And the King will reply, "Truly I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." Whenever you were kind to somebody, you did it for me. See, this is why we do it. We don't do it because we feel kind. We do it for Him. Then He will say to those on the left, where I don't want to be, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That's where the unwise go. That's where the foolish, remember? It said all those things. "For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't look after me." And then they answer, Lord, when did that happen? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? I mean, we prayed in the synagogues. We proclaimed we were Christians. We did all these nice things. And he said, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment. But the righteous, those who acted in kindness, those who were wise, those who operated in heavenly wisdom, those who showed God's loving kindness, the righteous went away to eternal life. That's your destiny. That's where you've been called to. That's where God has chosen you to fill you with His Holy Spirit, to pour out His power in you, to overwhelm the discomforts of the flesh or the hesitations of the flesh, to overwhelm those and to go out and to act with love and loving kindness. In Jesus' name. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord God. We thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that You are working in us, that You are transforming us into the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ. That You are working the fruit of the Spirit into our life, that You are developing, maturing, growing these fruit in our life. And in particular, we thank You for the kindness that You've shown to us and that You operate in us and through us by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to act with kindness towards others, to love others as You would, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Hey, we got coffee and donuts upstairs. Help yourself. Stick around. Fellowship. Thanks for coming out. God bless you.
Every fear of the unknown I can hear. All God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that arose Jesus from the grave. The same promises are true. In His strength there is nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be